I always brag about our Wednesday shows. We always do good Wednesday shows, but I'm not blowing smoke today. We got a really good, top-notch Wednesday show for you. Very special program today on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and thank you so much for being with us. And together we take this Wednesday afternoon or evening, depending on where you are. Well, I suppose morning, depending on where you are in the world. To make a midsummer radio pilgrimage today, and I can promise you we'll provide you with auspicious company as we make that privilege. While I join you from our studio here in California, all of our guests will be joining us from the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, a beautiful new pilgrimage site dedicated to the patroness of the Americas. I say new. I mean, it's a decade old at least that it's been welcoming pilgrims, but this is the Catholic Church. That's a new pilgrimage site. Our main guest for the next 2 hours is the founder of this shrine, Cardinal Raymond Burke. Cardinal Burke is a native of Wisconsin. He was made the Bishop of La Crosse by Pope Saint John Paul II in 1995. He was later named Archbishop of St. Louis and then Prefect of the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura in Rome. He was elevated to the College of Cardinals in 2010. But while he was still Bishop of La Crosse, Cardinal Burke founded the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and today he continues to serve as president of its board of directors. What a great privilege. Cardinal Raymond Burke, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Answers Live today.
Oh, you're most welcome. I'm happy to be with you.
And I should tell our radio listeners that via our various video outlets, we are Cardinal Burke and soon to join us, Professor Duncan Stroik from Notre Dame University, who designed the church, are joining us from right there in front of the sanctuary in the church, an absolutely beautiful shot. Cardinal Burke, why did you found this shrine and what are your hopes for it?
Well, I founded the shrine to be a place of pilgrimage, which is one of the most ancient forms of devotion, because of my conviction of the importance of the devotional life for us in our relationship with our Lord. We meet our Lord, obviously, most perfectly and fully in the sacraments, especially the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of penance. But we need to deepen our appreciation of that encounter and extend it to a certain extent by devotions. And one of the great devotions is to go on pilgrimage to a holy place. The holy place uncovers for us the extraordinary nature of our ordinary life, because we are alive in Christ from the moment of our baptism. Christ dwells in us through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we grow, God willing, in the likeness of Christ. And one of the important ways for us to grow is through devotions, and especially pilgrimages to holy places.
Well, the church in recent decades, maybe in even you could say in recent centuries, got itself connected up with a modern kind of mindset in many instances that allowed a kind of atrophy of the devotional life of the church. It feels like at this moment, and maybe the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe is part of that, it's like a treasure chest of things that many young people today, for example, weren't raised with, doing pilgrimages and processions and ember days and all these things. Do you feel like people are rediscovering the treasure chest of Catholic devotional life?
That certainly has been my experience. You're quite correct. When in my childhood, the devotional life was a most beautiful and important part of my Catholic life, of our life in the family, and my life as I was growing up. But by the time I was ordained a priest, I saw exactly what you described. The devotional life had been all but abandoned. And When I was a young bishop, some 25 years ago, the young adults, and especially, would remonstrate with me, saying, "You had all of these beautiful things, but you denied them to us." And they were in search of the devotional life. And we find the response here at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe to be very wholehearted, very sincere, especially among young people, young adults who are searching to know Christ better in their lives, and who can better teach us to know Christ and to love him and to serve him than his mother, Our Lady. And that's what she does here. You see in the church, the beautiful mosaic of Our Lady of Guadalupe, yes. She's drawing us to the altar of sacrifice, that indescribable encounter with Christ, who makes present again his sacrifice in Calvary, and then to the tabernacle, his abiding presence with us in the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, along the way are the confessionals, where we prepare ourselves for that encounter with Christ through the confession of our sins and the acceptance of works of satisfaction, of reparation for our sins.
I want to thank everybody over there at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, too, who has helped make these really beautiful video shots possible. I hope even if you're listening to us on the radio, you might go back and check on Facebook or YouTube or our webpage to see some of the shots of inside of the church dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe there in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So if you're going to provide all that, you must have priests there. Do you have priests? And who are these priests? And are they just hearing confessions and celebrating masses all the time to welcome people who are themselves pilgrims?
Well, the priests who have the care of the pilgrims, the spiritual care of the pilgrims, are the Friars of the Immaculate. And we're blessed to have two priests here. Father Joachim Mudd, who is the superior of the house of the friary, which is right next to the church where the friars live, and then Father Elias Mary Mudd, who is the rector of the church. But yes, their principal work is to hear confessions and to offer the Holy Mass. But as you can imagine, the pilgrims are often speaking to the friars about their own spiritual life, and many people who come to the shrine it's either a time of great joy, or many times it's also a time of trial for them, and they need to have a good priest with whom they can talk. They might have moral struggles, they may be having struggles in their family, maybe some question about their vocation in life, whatever it may be. They're looking for good priests who will help them. Right now, we're also blessed to have as our interim executive director, diocesan priest Father Paul Check from the Diocese of Bridgeport in Connecticut, who is obviously, he's directing the shrine, but he's also exercising his priestly ministry, offering the Holy Mass and hearing confession. So we're particularly blessed at this moment. But the regular care, spiritual care, is in the hands of the Friars of the Immaculate.
Another thing was that Catholics used to do, and maybe don't do as much anymore, is make retreats. I suppose a pilgrimage, in a certain sense, is a kind of retreat. When people make their pilgrimage there to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, are they making pilgrimage, for example, like walking from another location in the diocese? Are people coming from far and wide, from all around the world, to make their pilgrimage? Is this a retreat type experience for them? What is that? Go ahead,
correct. You're correct. A pilgrimage is like a little retreat, or okay. It can be extended. Sometimes people come for several days, but many times just for one day. But they arrive at the entrance, the Pilgrim Center, and then there is an ascent. They come up by a gradual way up the hill until they reach the goal of the pilgrimage, which is the church, the encounter with our Lord in the sacraments. And you mentioned about retreat. One of the requests, which we have had now for some years, is to build a house here where individuals and groups could come and make a spiritual retreat, because a holy place, a place of pilgrimage, fosters very much the desire to make a several-day retreat. And it is our hope right now. We've raised a certain amount of funds. We have to raise more, but it's our hope to build a fine retreat house here in the same character of the shrine, in order to receive retreatants. One thing I wanted to comment, and I'm sure we're going to hear from Professor Strike about this, but in building the shrine, we insisted that the shrine had to be as beautiful as it possibly could be. And thanks be to God, we had the support in order to build a truly beautiful church. Why do I say that? Because when the pilgrim comes, this is not some ordinary experience. As I say, it's an extraordinary activity. And so there should be a beauty here. There should be an attraction here, which is extraordinary and uncovers in some way for the pilgrim the mystery of his Christian life. And that's, we've done that with the church, and we strive with all our might to keep the church as beautiful as possible. But we want the retreat house, too, to be a place where everything about the retreat house will help the pilgrim to spend time with our Lord under the care of our Blessed Mother.
Very, very special day today on Catholic Answers Live. We're making a little radio pilgrimage to one of the great pilgrimage sites now in North America, the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. When we come back from the break, we will talk to the architect responsible for this beautiful, magnificent building. And we have as our guest for both hours, Cardinal Raymond Burke. Many of you will know Cardinal Raymond Burke for his great service in many ways, in speaking up for the church in the public square, in helping those of us who are Catholic to remember what it is to be a Catholic. We owe him a great debt of gratitude. We're delighted, absolutely delighted, to have him as a guest both hours today. We will be taking your calls a little bit later, but let's talk with Professor Stroik when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live. According to science, listeners to our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, are 93% happier. This week is no exception. On Monday's episode, Father Hugh Barber draws some surprising lessons from the story of Mary, Martha, and Jesus. You've heard the story, but you've never heard it explained like this. And then on Wednesday, we get Carlo Broussard to walk us through the social media storm that erupted around a priest who challenged Pride Month. Catholic Answers Focus is available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today and never miss an episode. It's the easy way to be 93% happier.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
We should pray because prayer is conversation with God, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship. We need that relationship with God. We should pray and talk with God about what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, what's active in our lives, the joys we have. We should share all of these with God. Prayer is conversation, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship with God. It's the most important relationship. All of our other relationships depend on this one.
Doing a little bilocating today for this episode of Catholic Answers Live. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we're on pilgrimage today. So I'm here in the studio in California, but through the power of video connection, able to join Cardinal Raymond Burke at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, a shrine that he founded when he was a bishop in La Crosse, Wisconsin, in which he continues as its sponsor and as its public face, and also as the president of its board of directors now. A magnificent shrine requires someone with the talent and ability, I suppose I will find out, but I suppose also the connection to the sacred tradition of the Catholic Church, not just a matter of it's not just merely a matter of knowing the techniques. It's also a matter of being in sync with the tradition, and I do believe that that's what this man is. So, joining Cardinal Burke and myself now on the air is the architect of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Professor Duncan Stroik. Professor Stroik is an architect, author, professor of architecture at the University of Notre Dame. He's the author of The Church Building as a Sacred Place, Beauty, Transcendence, and the Eternal. And he's the founding editor of Sacred Architecture Journal. In addition to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Professor Stroik's award-winning architecture work includes Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity Chapel in Santa Paula, California, and the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'll just add one thing, because we got a lot of graduates of St. Thomas Aquinas College here at Catholic Answers. He also designed a magnificent chapel for St. Thomas Aquinas College here in California. Professor Duncan Stroik, thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Si.
Maybe you're familiar with the churches here in California, some of which look like they are built to last a month or maybe even more. The building, first of all, before I ask you anything else about the building, it looks like it's intended to be there 1,000 years from now. Is that important in making a church building and a place of pilgrimage?
Yes, I believe so. In fact, Cardinal Burke said he wants it to last 1,200 years.
1,200. Okay. All right. Well, that's very specific, and I'm glad to hear it. So I suppose this is an area that actually has involved a great deal of struggle internally amongst us Catholics and probably across the whole Christian community. Even beyond that, in the secular world, a struggle over what makes a beautiful building and why even beauty matters. Can you tell us something about what your view of beauty itself is in its role in the building and the way that you're attempting to express beauty in this building?
Yes. Well, His Eminence talked about how it had to be the most beautiful possible. And it's really hard to imagine of a church like this, a basilica like this, even a cathedral-like room like this, building like this that was built of this beauty probably in 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
It really was revolutionary what he wanted to do. It was a vision that was fully traditional, capital T, not lightweight, L-I-T-E. Traditional. It was the full Monty. And really, that's how it happened. His vision, his desire for excellence, and we trying to follow that, looked at what many consider to be some of the great masterpieces of our tradition. Of course, 2,000 years of Catholicism, there's lots and lots of great churches to look at, lots and lots of ways to do it. But we were particularly drawn because of his location in beautiful La Crosse, which is kind of a hilly area near the Mississippi River. We were especially drawn to pilgrimage churches or even other kinds of temples that were on hills or up, something that you go up to, like in the Psalms.
And the Our Lady of Guadalupe, of course, Mexico City, it's a long way from Wisconsin, and the materials, even a building, are very, very different. How did you try to kind of make a building that fits in Wisconsin, but is also a building that honors Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Oh, that's a great point. Well, the most important thing, of course, is the universal story, which is the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe and Juan Diego and the miracles and the apparitions. That's the key thing which makes her Queen of the Americas, but also universal patroness, and then one of the apparitions of the Mother of God. So that's the key point, is the iconography. And so we started with the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is a beautiful and one of the finest reproductions of the miraculous image in Mexico City. We started with that. That's the focus. That's in the center. And she's drawing us, as Cardinal Burke said, and everything grows out of there: the sanctuary, the nave, the cruciform shape, and then the iconography, which is really the grandest thing that I know of anyone doing, but certainly I've ever done, which is all of the symbolism and stories that relate to Mary, and specifically to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So that's the way we really push the universal story. Even though we're building it in Wisconsin, it's the universals that really speak to everyone across the world, we hope.
Some of these, the means by which this beauty is expressed, the painting and fresco and stone and the setting of stone and all these are actually things that require a very high degree of technical skill, and they're not done and put together that often anymore. Was it hard to find the people who had the technical skill to pull off the beauty that you wanted to in this building?
Yes and no. Okay. That's a very good point. What I like to say is these kind of buildings are built by contractors and many construction workers who have never done this before. And guess what? They'll never do it again. It's a one-shot deal for many of the people. And they did an incredible job. And I'm talking about all the stuff that goes into the building, from the concrete to the roofing to the electrical to the sound system, et cetera. There are other people, though, that do this for a living. The artists that Cardinal Burke found, the woodworkers, the plaster workers, especially John Canning out of Connecticut, who did the plaster work and the marbleizing. And then Fritz Nowak, who built the amazing organ. So there are people this is what they do. They do beautiful work, whether for the church or for the, civic buildings. And so it's really a unity or a marriage between people who have never done it before and then people who do it all the time. And that was the key to being able to accomplish something that is considered to be, a beautiful place.
And in your choice of materials, is that sense? I don't know if the stone that I'm seeing in the incredible video shots that we have here, but the stone, a red looking stone, white stone, marbles stone, is this local stone? Did you have to bring it from far away? Where did all of this come from?
Okay, so the exterior is, like you said, built to last 1,200 years or more, and so it's stone. It's meant to be permanent, and it's a mixture of the light stone, which is limestone, which is classic, and the more rough stone, which is colorful. And the goal of the colorful stone was to have a Wisconsin quality, the Yellowstone of Wisconsin, the hills, the mountains. And so it's this marriage of the rough and the smooth on the exterior. And then on the interior, of course, we have the exterior has a certain simplicity about it. The interior is really the, let's say, the paradise or the heavenly interior where all the colors come forward and the gold leaf and the beautiful music and so on and the marble. So those marbles are from around the world, particularly they're classic marbles from Italy. And I should say there is a very Roman part of this story, both in the design of the church, very Roman, in the life of the cardinal, who spent some large number of part of his life, half of your life in Rome?
Well, it's getting to be that way.
Half of his life in Rome, getting to be there. And so we wanted to tap into that as the universal, as the classic. Peter and Paul are on the outside of the building with the Good Shepherd in the middle. There's a lot of Roman aspects to it. And because of that, we looked at the greatest churches, I believe, that have ever been built in Italy and in Rome. And that's where the marble comes from. It's inspired by. And then he had this great idea of the mosaic, that the mosaic of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it's not a painting, it's not a photograph, it's a mosaic, it's a reinterpretation, but in stone, that would be made by the Vatican mosaic shop. So there's a very Roman connection, even though I feel like there is a Wisconsin in the siting and the stonework and a lot of things about it, and even the saints that he chose. I mean, I believe he's a Wisconsin cardinal.
Well,
he's a Roman Wisconsin cardinal.
The altar, go
ahead, Cardinal.
The altar we wanted the altar in a particular way to connect us with the great Basilica of Our Lady in Rome, St. Mary Major. And so the altar is an interpretation of the high altar in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. And we have a special also formal relationship with the Basilica.
Our guests are Cardinal Raymond Burke and Professor Duncan Stroik from the Notre Dame School, or from Notre Dame University, an architecture professor there. And we're talking about this magnificent building and this magnificent site, all dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I hope that you're thinking now, how can I make a pilgrimage there? Because that's what we'd all like if you would make a pilgrimage there. And it's time to open up the phone. So if you have questions for Professor Stroik or for Cardinal Burke, 888-318-7884 is the number. This hour, we're talking in general terms about beauty, about pilgrimage, but you can ask specific questions about the pilgrimage site as well at Our Lady of Guadalupe. 888-318-7884 is the number. Nick, I have a confusion on my clock. Are we about to go to a break, or am I reading the... Oh, we still have 30 seconds before the break. Okay. So let me just ask you this real quick. When you mentioned the Vatican building the you didn't say fresco, the
mosaic. Oh, the mosaic.
The mosaic, yes. There's a mosaic to Our Lady that Pope John Paul put right in Vatican Square. So it's the same shop that built that. Probably the same people.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's correct.
We'll take a quick break. 888-318-7884, the number. Sorry, I had a little clock trouble. That doesn't usually happen, but it's a big day. Lots going on around here. Join us and watch the video later. If you're just catching this on radio, watch the video later so you can see just how beautiful this building is. Right back after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. And you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
And I'm Father Bjorn Lundberg.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, what is a truly Catholic response to immigration?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Catholic Answers Live. We're on pilgrimage today. We're doing a little midsummer radio pilgrimage to one of the most beautiful pilgrimage sites now available in North America and around the world. And that is the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. The founder of that shrine, the former bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin, and now a cardinal of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Burke, is our guest, along with the man who designed the shrine, Professor Duncan Stroik, architect and professor of architecture at Notre Dame University. Our number is 888-318-7884. I don't want to be discouraging of your calls, because second hour we will have the hour with Cardinal Burke to talk about more general issues in the world and in the church. And I know there are many people who have many questions for the Cardinal about the situation in the church and in the world. And your calls are welcome on just about any of that in the second hour. This hour, we're taking the time to talk about pilgrimage, to talk about beauty, to talk about the devotional life of the church, and to talk specifically about the shrine that the Cardinal founded, the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So the number again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I do want to, I was told, as a matter of fact, that I must ask you about the dome, about the interior, I suppose, part of the dome in the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Cardinal. What can you tell us about the dome?
Well, one of the particular aspects of the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1531, December 9th to the 12th, to St. Juan Diego, her messenger, and then eventually when he unfolded his tilma or his mantle, our Lord, in a miraculous way, left the image on the... imprinted the image. We say imprinted, we don't know how it's there, but it's there and it's still there today, so that it was an apparition also to Bishop Juan de Zumarraga, whom Our Lady was asking to build a chapel in which she could invite all her children and show them the mercy of God. But there were many natural phenomena, that were associated with the apparition. Beautiful flowers blooming in the middle of winter on a rocky, thorny hill. Beautiful birds singing in a way that they had never sung before. But one of the particular aspects was the positioning of the stars at the time of the apparition. And that, the constellations that were present when Our Lady appeared in the sky are reproduced in the dome of the church here, so that when you look up, you're looking up at the sky that St. Juan Diego would have seen, and that is also connected with Our Lady's vesture, which is highly symbolic. There isn't time to go into all the details now. But the apparition is exceedingly rich, and we wanted to capture as much of that as possible. And so that is what you see in the dome, is blue with the stars, the constellations, exactly as they were at the time of the apparition. And that was a particularly wonderful idea also, which Professor Stroik had in designing the interior of the church, that we could reproduce that.
A wonderful idea. And thanks to the video people, they got a shot. While you were talking, Cardinal, they were able to get a shot of that. And so folks were able to see that. And so that's beautiful. Thank you. What a great idea, too. What a wonderful idea. An idea that comes, if it comes directly from the garment of Our Lady, that's a really good idea. So I'm glad you were able to incorporate it. Also, there's an indulgence connected to making pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, through our relationship with the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome, a plenary indulgence is granted to the pilgrims who come to the shrine, and also plenary indulgence is granted on the special feast days, the Feast of St. Juan Diego, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. St. Juan Diego's feast day is December 9th, Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th, and also the anniversary of the dedication of the church, which is celebrated on July 31st. And so, but there is a document, in fact, it's posted as the pilgrims enter into the narthex or the vestibule of the church, and it tells them exactly what indulgences they're able to obtain, of course, following the usual practice of having made a good confession within a certain period of time, having received Holy Communion, and then offering prayers for the Pope.
Again, our number 888-318-7884, Cardinal Raymond Burke, our guest this hour and next. This hour, we're talking about the pilgrimage site that the Cardinal founded when he was Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, designed by our other guest, Professor Duncan Stroik, to be a place of lasting beauty. As a matter of fact, we have a specific date on how long it's meant to last. At a minimum, 1,200 years of beauty there, and God willing, I hope that's true. We have a caller. I want to get to the callers. We'll work in as your calls as we go, as we continue our conversation with Professor Stroik and with Cardinal Burke. We will start with Jeff in Columbus, Ohio. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. If you could state your question clearly and briefly, just because I don't know how good the audio will be in the earphones of our guests. So, Jeff, go ahead.
Great, thank you. Cardinal and Professor Stroik, thank you for being on the show today. I was wondering if you could talk about how beauty fits into making a building like this transcendent, as opposed to kind of some of the 1970s architecture of churches that I grew up in. And what makes for something that's going to last centuries versus decades?
Ah, yeah. So what? Go ahead, please.
No, that's an excellent question. And this is exactly the challenge of the architect or the artist, of anyone who's even the workers who are building the church. And that is that the church would have a quality which would point heavenward. That even the architecture itself, the height of the church and the whole disposition of various the furnishings and also paintings, other things, are all meant to draw the mind upward to God. And so that's why a church should have rich iconography. And by that I mean a beautiful sanctuary above all, beautiful painting side altars, even the confessionals. We wanted them to be attractive and to in some way to point to the transcendent reality of Christ, meeting Christ in the sacrament who forgives our sins. Sadly, in a certain period, especially in the period right after the Second Vatican Council, there entered in this idea. It's really a Protestant idea, a Calvinistic idea, that beauty no longer was appropriate. And so churches became very much like meeting halls.
Yes.
And white walls. And I remember visiting one of these modern churches, and I said to the priest, I said, I don't even see a crucifix. And this is a standard thing at every church. And he said, don't you see in that, in the back wall, that how the cement forms a cross? Well, you could hardly see it. And that isn't sufficient. You know, here you notice that there's a beautiful crucifix hanging above the altar in order to signify that this is what's happening here, the salvation of the world through the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave us the gift of, because we share in God's own life, he gave us a gift of doing beautiful art and architecture. And that's what we have to be about when we're going to build a church. And we have to be truly convinced that God himself is all beautiful, and therefore that because he created us, there is beauty in each of us. We participate in his beauty as in all of creation. And so we tried to express that in the architecture of the church. But I'm sure that Professor Strike will have something more to say.
Professor Strike, I guess there was kind of two questions. One about how you get the beauty to be transcendent, and I gather that there's a kind of earthly secular beauty that's possible in all kinds of buildings, but what makes it a sacred kind of beauty?
Well, I thought His Eminence explained it well. If we think about beauty and transcendence, and there's lots of beauties, and I hope there's lots of beauties in this church, the first thing we have to do is make it vertical. And it's not about us here and now, but it's us being part of something bigger than us, which is the Holy Church and the saints and Christ's redemption. And so we try to signify that through verticality, and usually the height of the nave should be taller than its width. Here it is one of the has a greater verticality than most churches built in the last 60 years, 37 feet wide, about 62 feet tall.
Wow.
And then most importantly, at the crossing, so it's a proportional thing. It's not just dimensions, it's proportions. But then at the crossing, you get the oomph. You get the big focus, which His Eminence already talked about, which is this amazing heavens. And literally, he wanted the heavens there, which was the constellations, when the event happened in which we're celebrating. We're especially celebrating when Our Lady appeared to a poor Mexican Indian. So there's the verticality of proportion, And then I think if you look at this interior, there's lots of elements that try to reinforce that. There are Corinthian pilasters with angels on them that go vertical and are made up of fluting. And then they lead to an entablature, which then leads to arches or ribs. And then there are other elements such as windows and the altar pieces. All they're vertical. And verticality has something to do with transcendence in heaven. It also has to do with the human body. And that we walk erect, we're vertical in proportion. So there is kind of a human side of it, and we think of it as human in the sense that, of course, God created us, as he said, and we're beautiful in his eyes, and we are created in God's image. So I think the beauty of transcendence is a crucial one. When I first started doing Catholic architecture 30 years ago, that was definitely something that was lost. There was no transcendence in contemporary buildings. And His Eminence saw fit to do that here in La Crosse, which seems like a crazy place to do it. And here we have one of the most magnificent churches on a hill, which is also transcendent. He talked about ascent. Yeah. There's a lot of a lot of going up, what we've tried to do here.
One of the most ancient rites in the church is the rite for the dedication of a church, for its consecration. And the rite is just rich with the idea, this is God's dwelling among us. And so when you walk into a church, you need to have so many reminders that this is the house of God. Yes, it's the house of the church, but it's first and foremost, it's the house of God, where God dwells with us. And so you need to... And one thing I would underline, too, is that Professor Stroik has studied the great churches throughout the world. We have to learn from our tradition is living. Christ is inspiring all the time in the church, beautiful architecture, beautiful art. And if we aren't attentive to that, we're simply foolish. If we have to learn so much from 2,000 and more years of the tradition of the faith and from the great art and architecture. And so this is a new building. It has its distinctive features, but it breathes very much the Roman experience, which is the universal experience of the church. They call it Romanitas. That's why an altar like this that's in St. Mary's St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome speaks to Catholics, no matter from all over the world. They see it, and immediately they are drawn to the beauty of our Lord's sacrifice.
We're on pilgrimage today here at Catholic Answers Live, our pilgrimage to one of the great and beautiful pilgrimage spots in North America, the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. We are joined by the founder of the shrine and the architect who designed it this hour. We have more callers. I have delayed you callers. I apologize. We'll get to you and maybe get some jokes from Professor Duncan Stroik when we come back as well, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He is honored by the church as one of the greatest enemies of clergy sexual abuse.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
In his time, St. Peter Damian fought against the many vices of contemporary clergy, especially sexual abuses among the clergy. In 1051, he wrote the Book of Gomorrah that is still considered essential reading for fighting abuse today. He died in 1072.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on pilgrimage today to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. We're speaking with Cardinal Raymond Burke, the founder of the Shrine, and with Professor Duncan Stroik, the designer and of the Shrine. Professor Stroik, you wanted to tell us some jokes about that have to do with the Shrine.
Well, it follows up on His Eminence's discussion of the deep blue of Our Lady's mantle that he and the artist brought up into the dome. And actually, if you start noticing that blue, it's around, it's all around the church. This whole church is covered in her mantle. But this dome of the church with the amazing constellation of 1531, which is the heavens, we were actually climbing up a scaffolding to look at it during construction. And I said, Your Eminence, could we go up and take a look at the dome? And he says, well, what do you want me to see? I mean, isn't it just construction? No, there's some things I want you to see. And I was thinking the dome and the stars. And he was willing to come up it, and it's dirty and dangerous. And he did it. And we were up there, and we went up and looked at the inscription around the dome. And I was looking at the marbleizing, and he was looking at the inscription. He, as you know, is a canon lawyer and has been speaking Latin since before he could speak English. And so he was noticing the inscriptions, which are in the mother tongue. And so he saw this inscription from the Marriage of Cana, and he says, Duncan, are these words correct? And I looked at it, and I saw like mater, and I said, mother. Yeah, that looks pretty good to me. Yeah. And I saw Jesus, and I said, yeah, that looks pretty good. And he says, no, but aren't the words supposed to go from left to right rather than from right to left?
Oh, did they really?
And so
yeah,
there
was. I thought I was having an attack of some kind. I looked at this and it didn't make any sense to me.
So the words were all correct, but they were going
the wrong
from right to left. And so he caught that. Now it's in a circle, of course. So, you know, you might not catch it. But he caught it immediately. I was looking at stars. He was looking at Latin words. And so we immediately caught it. He caught it. And John Canning was with us, the artist. And he immediately said, there's no problem. We'll redo it. And so they took down the frieze and redid it. And that was really brilliant. And if he hadn't come up to see the stars, he would have never caught that mistake in time.
Wow. That is really, well, maybe the person who did it had just finished doing a synagogue before, because that in
yes,
Hebrew, that
yes.
would be the way to write
That's
it.
That's what they said. Yeah, they had just done a synagogue in Latin. Yes.
In
yes.
Latin. I see. I
and then
get,
the other great inscription story, though, I have to tell this really quickly.
Sure.
Is there's a lot of symbolism here, but we use the Litany of Loreto. Some of the names of Mary from the Litany of Loreto, which is so beautiful. And around the church is her names. And I'm showing him drawings. This is drawing stage. And I'm showing the drawings, and he says, Duncan, this all looks fine, but what about these inscriptions? I said, well, the inscriptions, they're just Latin inscriptions. What's the big deal? And so he says, no, Duncan, look at this inscription. And he says, Duncan, it says, Virgo Veranda. And I said, what's wrong with that? Sounds good to me. He says, that's Our Lady of the Front Porch. It's supposed to be Virgo Veneranda, not Virgo Veranda.
Our Lady of the Front Porch. It's a new devotion, see?
He catches all my mistakes. So if there's any mistakes here, they're mine. And if there's any solutions, he's found them.
It's good to have a true Latin scholar who's the founder of the Shrine. Otherwise, I guess nobody can speak Latin. Yeah, right. Let's go to Betsy in Columbia, Maryland. Betsy, your question for our guests.
Your Eminence, thank you for being on the show. Thank you, Doctor.
Betsy, go ahead. Sure. Did we lose you?
Yeah. Oh, super. Can you hear me?
We can. Sure. Go ahead.
I'm extremely interested in this show. I'm very eager to visit Our Lady of the Front Porch. But in the meantime, the Wisconsin pilgrimage sounds fantastic. But I, as a busy working
You know what, Betsy, I'm really sorry, but we're having trouble with the connection. And so I'm just going to read what the call screener got for your question. So it's basically about how to choose where to go on pilgrimage. And maybe you have limited choices. You don't have the ability to go far. Do either of you have any direction on how to choose where to make a pilgrimage?
Well, if we're all limited, of course, in what we can do, and there would be beautiful places of pilgrimage also on the East Coast. It sounds like it would be difficult. I mean, we would love to have you come to Wisconsin. And we do every year, I think every year for the past several years, we've had pilgrims from all 50 states of the Union, of course, from Europe, Poland and France and Germany and Italy, other countries as well. But there is a directory of places of pilgrimage, and you can find out where you might go to make a pilgrimage if you can't come here. And of course, one of the things that we always tell the pilgrims too is that we hope that a pilgrimage here will lead them eventually, when they're able, to visit the Tilma, the mantle of St. Juan Diego, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the original her original shrine in Mexico City. But the important thing is to make a pilgrimage, to make the extraordinary effort to go to a holy place in order to deepen your encounter with our Lord by the help of our Blessed Mother.
Betsy, I'm sorry we had
that.
Go ahead.
I would just say that I've studied this quite a bit, and there's amazing shrines in Europe, and we're always referring to them. We have some great shrines in the U.S., but there's no question in my mind as an architect, and I had nothing to do with it, but this is one of the top five Catholic shrines in the U.S. Should come here.
Let me
skip the East Coast.
Before we have to go, and I want to assure the listener that Cardinal Burke will be with us in the second hour, and we'll continue to take your questions for Cardinal Burke. But how much is in your mind the idea that a place like this, with its mere physical structure, but also with the quality of the liturgy that's celebrated there, is also something that people take home with them, and that renews the church in their local place, so that they bring home an idea of how a church should be beautiful and how liturgy should be beautiful?
Well, certainly that is a gift given here, and we're very conscious of that. That first of all, the shrine itself has to be as beautiful as possible, even to the details of the flowers, and that the paths are kept clean and so forth. That I always say to our staff, nothing should distract the pilgrim from the encounter with our Lord through the beauty of the shrine. So the pilgrims take this back. Pilgrims who come here, they remain in communication with us, and actually many come several times if it's possible. They like to return, and they continue. Also, we have a votive candle chapel, a beautiful votive candle chapel. They have candles lit in order that their intentions may continue to be remembered here at the shrine. That's a very good point that you make, that when we make a pilgrimage, we come back much richer. I would say the first effect will be in the home itself. And pilgrims will want to, for instance, make their home an extension of the church, of the parish church, and you know, have holy water, have an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in their home, in order that the experience, the encounter which they've had here, can continue in their home, and then also in the parish itself, and in other aspects of their lives.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Professor Duncan Stroik, thank you so much for taking the time to do this hour with us, and for your incredible work in beautifying the world through making these beautiful churches. Thank you, Professor Stroik.
Great honor. Thank you. Great honor.
Thank you, Si.
And for those of you waiting for Cardinal Burke's blessing, he's with us both hours, so we'll ask him for his blessing at the end of the next hour. So you got to do another hour of pilgrimage with us. Hang around if you want to get that blessing from the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. As I said, Cardinal Burke will continue with us. I know that there are many people who have questions about the situation in the world in the church that you would like to ask Cardinal Burke. He's at the center of much of that, and you are welcome to call anytime next hour. We'll also be joined by our good friend and the Cardinal's good friend, Father Paul Check for the next hour. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.